If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. On this Lord's Day, it is the joy of Worth Baptist Church and this pastor to greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our happy privilege to bring to you the good news of the gospel. All over the world today, men will be worshiping God. I trust that there will be a meaningful experience in your life today as you go to the house of the Lord to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a great joy in the heart of the believer who worships faithfully and consistently and regularly in the house of the Lord. If you are not doing that, I trust today would be a new beginning for you. There's no time like the present time for you to begin to serve the Lord and to worship and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Here at Worth Baptist Church, we extend to you a cordial invitation to worship the Lord with us. We invite you to our Sunday school, which begins at 10 o'clock. The Sunday school of Worth Baptist Church has but one textbook, and that is the Bible, the Word of God. We are now surveying the entire Bible, book by book, week after week. Today, our survey will be in the book of James, and we believe this would be an informative study for you and your entire family in the Sunday school hour at 10 o'clock, where there's a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. And then our Sunday morning worship hour is at 11 o'clock, and this hour of worship is designed to meet your spiritual needs. Let me ask you a heart-to-heart question today. Do you not feel the need of being in the house of the Lord? Do you not feel the need of fellowship with God's people? Oh, the great joy of being with the people of God in the house of God on the day of the Lord. Come today to Worth Baptist Church. The Sunday morning worship hour will be a blessing to your heart as the songs of Zion are sung, and as the message of the gospel is proclaimed. And then, in the Sunday evening worship hour, which begins at 7, we are now in a series of messages entitled, It's in the Book. These are topics that are of interest and that are of concern to every born-again believer, and even to those who are unsaved. Tonight, my message will be entitled, The Bible and Science. Just how scientific is the Bible? Is the Bible a textbook on science? Does science contradict the Bible? These and other questions will be answered in the message this evening entitled, The Bible and Science. I trust that you'll come and bring the whole family to Worth Baptist Church today. We are located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. Worth Baptist Church is easily accessible from all parts of the city of Fort Worth and of Tarrant County by the Pauley Freeway, and that's Highway 287 South, and by Loop 820. Really, you're only minutes away by the expressway from Worth Baptist Church. So we invite you to come today and share the blessings of the Lord with us, where the spirit of revival prevails, where souls are being saved, where Christ is proclaimed, and where the Bible is always emphasized. So if you're looking for a church that is friendly, that is spiritual, a church that welcomes you with open arms, a church that preaches and proclaims the Book of God, we invite you to Worth Baptist Church today. And we would like to hear from you by mail this week. Our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. Write us today, and may the Lord bless you as you do. This word of special announcement, on Sunday, March 4th, Worth Baptist Church will celebrate our 19th anniversary. 19 years in the soul-winning business. 19 years of proclaiming the gospel of redeeming grace. On Sunday, March 4th, we would like for you to come and bring the whole family. Bring your neighbors and friends. Join with us as we celebrate our 19th anniversary on Sunday, March 4th. Our Sunday school goal for that day is 700, and we would like for you to be one of the 700 in Sunday school on our 19th anniversary, Sunday, March 4th. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, Unrequited Love, Unclaimed Promises, and Unappropriated Peace. I shall read from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 13 and verse 34. But before we read the Word of God, I would have you to pause with me in just a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee today for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the freedom that we have in our country to worship Thee. May we never take for granted the price that has been paid for our liberty and for our freedom. May we never take for granted the price that has been paid for our redemption. We would ask today that the Holy Spirit would bring conviction to the hearts of those who are without Christ. Bring comfort to those who are in sorrow, and bring encouragement to those who are discouraged in the rest homes, in the hospitals, there by the bedside of a loved one whose life is ebbing away. Oh, how we pray today a special portion of Thy grace for every listener. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it all, and for His sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. And now the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 13 and verse 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. This is the lament of the Lord Jesus Christ over the city of Jerusalem. It expresses the heart and the feeling and the emotion of the Son of God. He had come to offer Himself as Israel's King, and they had rejected Him. He had come to share with them divine love, and they had not responded. He had come to make promises to them that they would not believe. He had come to give them peace that passes all understanding, and they would not accept it. So in my text today, I see unrequited love, unclaimed promises, and unappropriated peace. I shall speak first of the unrequited love. The golden text of the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This, I repeat, is the golden text of the Bible. This is the story of God's love for mankind. When we read there that God so loved the word for world in the Greek is oikoumene, and it means the whole inhabited earth. God so loved the whole inhabited earth that He gave Jesus Christ, His Son, for salvation. Now, let's analyze that verse for just a moment. God is the great lover. Jesus Christ is the great gift. The act of God in giving Christ to the world is the greatest act ever performed. Jesus has come to save all who are lost, and this is because God so loved the world. Paul declared in Romans chapter 5 at verse 8, God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said that the greatest four words in the Bible are these, Christ died for us. May I apply that by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit to you today listening to this broadcast? God indeed loved you enough to give Christ to die on the cross for your sins. And Jesus Christ loves you. God said through His prophet Jeremiah at chapter 31 and verse 3, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. You see, God's love is not temporary. God's love is not just for today or tomorrow or next week. God's love is everlasting. Jesus said in John 15, 13, Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. I read in 1 John chapter 3 at verse 1, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What manner of love? Oh, the love that God has given to you in Christ Jesus is a love that's indescribable. It's a love that's immeasurable. God's love to you through the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest thing that could happen as long as you ever live. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, we read, God is love. And in 1 John 4:10, it is written, Herein is love, not that we loved Him, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And then in that same chapter of 1 John, verse 19, John writes, We love Him because He first loved us. And then in the Revelation chapter 1, John the beloved apostle writes, Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, to Him be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Did you observe that Christ first loved us? Even while we were unclean, before He cleansed us, before He washed us in His blood, He loved us. Unto Him that loved us and then washed us from our sins in His own blood. Jesus Christ loves you regardless of your state today. Jesus Christ loves you regardless of how filthy and unclean and sinful you are today. The tape measure of human wisdom cannot fathom God's love. Just how high is God's love? How wide is God's love? How deep is God's love? God's love is so high that you can't get over it. God's love is so wide that you can't get around it. And God's love is so deep that you can't get under it. The poet put it this way, The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care, God gave His Son to win, His erring child to reconcile and pardon from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. Paul put it on a personal basis when in Galatians 2:20 he wrote, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Just as Jesus Christ loved Paul, Jesus Christ loves you, and He gave Himself for you. Had you been the only sinner of Adam's race, Jesus Christ would still have died on the cross for you. Frequently we read in the newspaper the story of unrequited love, and it's a sad story. Yet an even sadder story is this. The love of God is unrequited by so many. God loves the whole inhabited earth. Let me ask you a personal question. Have you responded to God's love, or is God's love still unrequited in your life? If you have not responded to the love of God, I trust that you would do so even this moment. Just open the door of your heart and let the sunshine of God's love come in, and then reciprocate, then return, respond that love to God. Secondly, I speak of unclaimed promises. Someone has observed that in the Bible there are over 30,000 promises. The poet put it this way, Every promise in the book is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line, all the glories of His love divine, every promise in the book is mine. We have promises first for life. He has promised to feed, to clothe, to protect, to preserve, to supply all of our needs, to accompany us all the way, even to the end of the age. He's promised to guide us. You see, there is nothing in your life that has not been covered by a promise in the Bible. I suppose the Apostle Paul summed it all up when he said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." What is your need? Is it for food or clothing or protection? Is it for someone to guide you and strengthen you and comfort you along the way? Then you have the answer in the Bible. Jesus Christ will do all of these things for you, for He has given you a promise in life to take care of your needs. I trust that you'll claim that promise this moment. And then He has promised you something for death. Death is pictured as a valley. And the psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." You might be nearing death's door this moment. You don't have to go alone. Jesus Christ has promised to go with you. Across that river of death, He has promised to go. The poet put it this way, "When I come to the river at ending of day, when the last winds of sorrow have blown, there'll be somebody waiting to show me the way. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died all my sin to atone. In the darkness I see, He'll be waiting for me. I won't have to cross Jordan alone." Yes, there is a promise for you that even in death, Jesus Christ will be by your side. Then there's a promise for the resurrection. Jesus said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Beloved, there is going to be a great getting up morning. There's going to be a great awakening day, the morning of the resurrection. Paul says, "The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Oh, what a blessed hope. What a wonderful promise that Christ Jesus, the resurrection, will resurrect the bodies of those who have fallen asleep in Him on the great getting up morning, a promise of resurrection. Then there's a promise for eternity. We read in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 that God hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In time and for eternity, in life and in death, today and tomorrow, the promise of God is directed to you. God has given you promises that you should claim today. Don't let those promises go unclaimed another moment in your life. And then in the third place, I speak of unappropriated peace. In the last 4,000 years, there have only been 268 years of peace. Last Sunday was the first full day of the signing of the ceasefire in Vietnam. And yet all through the week, we have heard of firings and shootings and killings. For more than 12 years, American lives have been given on the battlefield in Southeast Asia. Death and destruction have been the toll. Over 50,000 American casualties, with many hundreds missing in action and prisoners of war. Now, they say it's all ended. The president spoke of lasting peace with honor. This is a well-phrased platitude. It is a dream to be coveted. It is a reality to be sought after. But you know, and we all know, that the absence of war does not ensure peace. If indeed peace comes, it will be only a temporary peace. There can be no lasting peace until the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, comes to reign upon the earth. That unappropriated peace can be yours in your heart today. Be anxious for nothing, Paul writes, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We read in Ephesians 2:14, He is our peace. Jesus said in John 14:27, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, give I you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So we can say today, let war come. He is our peace. Let famine come. He is our bread. Let sickness come. He is our physician. Let tragedy come. He is our helper. Let sorrow come. He is our comforter. Let the enemy come. He is our defender. Let pestilence come. He is our help. Let depression come. He is our wealth. Let disappointment come. He is our hope. Let death come. He is our resurrection. Yes, we have today an unappropriated peace. All you need to do is by faith to claim it, to believe it, and you can appropriate that peace in your heart today. And until the Prince of Peace comes, or until the hour of death comes to your life, you can have that peace that might now be unappropriated. You can have it appropriated in your heart simply by believing what God says. Do you believe what God has said? Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the Lord Jesus Christ? Then I would say to you, this peace is yours even now. Until next Lord's Day, at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your home, and upon your family. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.